Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
And good morning, church. So good to be with you today. And a big thanks to Nick. She does a great amount of work for Be The Love and is definitely the one who's leading that. And I tell you what, last year it was pouring with rain and I was at Wonga Park Primary and we started the day. And we all got there and it wasn't raining as much and we had our time and we plotted all of our projects out and we prayed and then it just went bang. The rain just went immediately. And we're all standing under this cover and we'd finished praying and I was like, well, I suppose off to work we go. And it was one of the greatest encouragements for me as a pastor of this church to see in that moment everyone go, all right, let's do it. And just out into the rain they went. And it was just an absolute blessing. And so thank you for being such a servant-hearted church, not only in the giving, not only in the praying, but when we are required to actually put our hands to the plow and get out there and work as we will next week. So thank you, church, for that. Regarding the men's event, I don't know that there's ever been a time in my life, CB, where I have said, I need a coffee to wash down my suva. Now, I don't know if anyone else has ever tried that before. Maybe you have. I've never tried it, so I'm willing to give it a go. What about a nice coffee? Well, a nice coffee is great. And a nice souvlaki is indeed great. An iced coffee. I don't know about moving them together. Anyway, we will see. Men, come and find out if it's going to work. You don't know until you try. Yeah, come on. Mate, there are some things we just do know, but we'll... We'll see about this one, won't we? No, I already know about that one. All right, it is a blessing to be in this series, Broken Not Forgotten. And I hope you've... Has anyone enjoyed hearing the stories that we've heard so far? Yeah, thank you. Ken and to Luke and Sam, it's been a brilliant thing. And it doesn't stop today either. What I want to say before we get into the testimonies that we're going to hear this morning, these are Christ-exalting testimonies. These are not just good stories. And I said that last week. And as I was sitting here with Ken and he was sharing his testimony last week and I could look around the congregation, I know there were many tears. There were many people that felt the emotions as he was sharing last week. And emotion is real and it's not a negative in this context. But emotion is also, it's not the goal. It's not what we're trying to get going through this series and through the testimonies that we have. The goal behind Broken Not Forgotten is that as we hear these testimonies and as we think about the way that God has worked in our own lives, the goal is that Jesus Christ is glorified. And if you come here today and perhaps someone's invited you along and said, hey, come and hear one of these stories that we've been sharing, I hope that's what you hear. Because we stand here and we say we are not perfect people. None of us are. I love the line that if you're looking for a perfect church and you find the perfect church, as soon as you walk in, that church is no longer a perfect church because we have walked into that church. We are not perfect people and we do not have perfect stories. The Christian story, the story of someone who follows Christ is not a perfect story apart from Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is perfection and he is the one who we rely on throughout our whole lives. And that is what I hope you hear as we hear these stories, that Jesus is number one, and he is the one, no matter your circumstance, that can be relied upon. And I want you to hear that today. No matter your circumstance, no matter what you're walking through right now, Jesus is the one that can be relied upon. I want to read a passage before we get to the testimony today. It comes from Philippians 1:21. Paul writes this, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or I die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. In some versions you'd read this, it says, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live." For those he was ministering to in that moment. What an incredible passage of Scripture. that if I am presented with the opportunity to live and the opportunity to die, I'm actually torn between which one is better, because I know Jesus Christ lives with me and he is for me. And in my life here, I get to exalt him. I get to glorify him in and through the way that I live. But then if I die, I get to go and be with him. So I am torn between these two things. What an incredible peace that is that Paul has as he writes this. Further on, a couple of chapters down in Philippians 3, 7, 8, he's talking about his own efforts in his own life to be righteous enough to actually have that that eternal life. And he says this: I once thought all these things that I was doing, I once thought all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Today we have the privilege, the absolute privilege of hearing from a young lady named Sarah, Sarah Boyens, who's a part of Open Doors Ministries. And we're going to hear many stories today. And I'm going to let her cue that up for us. So can we please welcome Sarah to the stage today?
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here with you all today.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for joining us today. And you've got a few bits and pieces to show us. You know, we're in this series called Broken, Not Forgotten, and we've heard testimonies just as I shared, and you're not here necessarily to share your own testimony today, but to share the testimonies of many, many different people around the world. And so why don't you begin by explaining to us, who is Open Doors?
Yes, so I'm here with Open Doors. I've been with Open Doors just for a year now. And Open Doors, for those who've never heard of Open Doors, we're a ministry that's been working for 65 years in over 70 countries, supporting the most persecuted in countries all over the world that follow Jesus no matter the cost. And so the person that founded Open Doors, we fondly call Brother Andrew. Some of you might have heard of the book God Smuggler, but he smuggled Bibles from Western Europe into Eastern Europe after World War II to go behind the Iron Curtain to smuggle Bibles into Christians that were under fierce opposition and persecution in the communist regime that was going on. And his heart, his call from Christ was Revelations 3 verse 2, which says, wake up and strengthen what remains. And so the call of Open Doors is to continue to strengthen what remains, the Christians that are persecuted around the world, to bring life, to bring hope, to remind them that the global church is supporting them, that they're not forgotten even though they're persecuted, even though they might feel alone in countries where there's 2% of them are Christians. We can come alongside them as the body of Christ and share that hope and love into their hearts.
It's beautiful. I think we've got a video that might be good to show. Is that right? Do you want to tell us what that video is going to show?
So there's so many stories that could be shared today, but this one in particular is of a recent crisis that happened in Manipur, India, earlier in this year. And so this is Rowan's story.
செய்வதற்கு நான் அர்ப்பணித்தேன். ஆனால் இருந்தாலும் கூட அந்த சபையை ஆரம்பிக்கணும், ஒரு சேலஞ்சாக இருக்கணும் அப்படின்னு தான் அதை ஆரம்பித்தேன். ஆனால் 7 வருஷம் நான் வந்து பர்சனல் எவாஞ்சலிஸும் சில்ட்ரன்ஸ் மினிஸ்ட்ரி இது மாதிரி தான் செஞ்சிட்டு இருந்தேன். அது மூலமாக தான் என்னென்னா ஒரு 30 பேர் என்ன பண்ணாங்க, இயேசுவை ஏற்றுக்கிட்டாங்க. அதன் பிறகு தான் 2008 அந்த இடத்துல சபையை என்ன பண்ணோம், ஸ்தாபித்தேன். அதன் பிறகு ஒரு குறிப்பிட்ட இரவு நேரத்தில் விடிய காலத்தில் எனக்கு ஒரு கால் வந்தது, இது மாதிரி சபை எரிந்து கொண்டு இருக்குன்னு. நான் என்ன பண்ணேன்னா அதை பார்க்கும்போது ஃபுல்லாக தீ எரிஞ்சிட்டு இருந்தது தான் பார்த்தேன், அப்படியே மற்றபடி ஒன்றுமே பார்க்க முடியல. அது என்னென்னா ஒரு மாதிரி பெட்ரோல் மற்றபடி கிராஸ் முதல் கொண்டு எல்லாமே சாம்பல் ஆயிடுச்சு. அப்போ என்ன யோசனைனா, கத்தர் கொடுத்தா கத்தர் எடுத்துக்கொண்டார். அப்படிப்பட்ட நேசத்தை இருதயத்தோடு இருக்கிறார். அதனால தான் அநேக மிஷினரிகள் எழும்பி இருக்கிறாங்க, அநேகர் ஆண்டவரை பற்றி சொல்கிறாங்க. நான் உபத்திரவப்பட்டது நல்லது, ஆனால் உம்முடைய பிரமாணங்களை கற்றுக்கொண்டேன். அப்போஸ்தலனாகிய பவுல் யாக்கோபுக்கு எழுதின நிருபம் 1:2-4 என் சகோதரரே, நீங்கள் பலவிதமான சோதனைகளில் அகப்படும் பொழுது உங்கள் விசுவாசத்தின் பரீட்சையானது பொறுமையை உண்டாக்கும் என்று அறிந்து அதை மிகுந்த சந்தோஷமாக எண்ணுங்கள். நீங்கள் ஒன்றிலும் குறைவுள்ளவர்களாயிராமல் பூரணராயும் நிறைவுள்ளவர்களாயும் இருக்கும்படி பொறுமையானது பூரண கிரியை செய்ய கடவது.
What an incredible story. And we're going to hear many more of those. I just want to take a moment, and I think I've led Sarah to rush into this without us praying. And I just want to take a moment for us to stop, to still our hearts, and for us and ask God to move them how He needs to move them this morning. So can you just join me in prayer, please? Holy Spirit, we come before You. And we want to open our hearts to You. And Father, we want them to move in the way that You want them to move today. So Lord, as we hear these stories, I pray that they wouldn't just come in one ear and go out the other. And as we leave, we go, well, that was interesting. But we would ask You, and we ask You right now, God, what do You want to do in us? That You might share Your love with someone else through us. Holy Spirit, we turn our ears towards You. Let us hear Your voice this morning. Have Your way on our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Sarah, tell us a little bit more about what Open Doors does, like practically on the ground.
I would love to share a little bit actually about my journey with Open Doors too, because I didn't actually know much about the Global Persecuted Church. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in church, and yet I had no concept of what the Global Persecuted Church looked like. I thought that it was just a historical thing that happened in the Bible. I'd hear some stories on the news of churches getting burnt down, but it seemed like such a faraway reality. And so it was only when Open Doors actually came to my local church 2 years ago that I first heard about the Global Persecuted Church. And I heard that 1 in 7 Christians, 360 million around the world, are persecuted just because they follow Jesus. Not because they commit crimes, not because they do anything wrong, but simply because they've chosen to follow Jesus. In countries where that is illegal or frowned upon. And I remember hearing this quote from a believer called Helen from Eritrea, Africa, who was placed in a shipping container for 32 months simply for singing worship songs on the steps of her church. And she was placed in this shipping container, and she said to us, once she later got out, she said to us, "Who can preach the gospel? The answer is simple. Anyone who's not afraid to die." And it was that moment that I was so convicted by the reality of their life of faith, that the things that I took for granted, they held so precious. The fact that I could grab a Bible on my phone, on the website down at Coorong, I could grab a Bible. But for them, if they were caught with a Bible, they would be thrown into prison or killed. And so that's the work that we get to do at Open Doors. And now I get the joy of sharing their stories. But that's the work of Open Doors. So we've started off with smuggling Bibles, and we still do. We still smuggle Bibles. There's over 52 countries where the Bible is on the banned book list. So that means that it's illegal or highly prohibited to own a Bible. And in some of these countries, people are illiterate. So we smuggle in audio Bibles, which is super cool. Some little audio Bibles in their own language that they can listen to the Word of God. All sorts of solar panel Bibles. We love technology. It means that people can hear the Word of God. And we know as Christians, it's so important to be able to hear the Word of God, to be encouraged in our faith. We do other things. We call it presence ministry, and it means being present with believers. I know many of you who have gone through your own challenges. It's so important to have a pastor, have a leader come alongside you in that moment and pray with you. For believers who are the only family, the only Christian family in their village, to have someone come and visit them and share the love of God is so, so important. So we do that. We do community development, which means that we build like Bible schools, Bible centers, so we can put on discipleship programs. So we teach pastors and leaders who often have come from a Buddhist or Hindu background. We teach them what is the Bible, how to read the Bible, how to lead and disciple others, and how to be prepared with when persecution comes. And then we also help with livelihoods. We help with emergency aid and relief in crises as well.
Incredible. So much. I'm sure as you go over there, there is so much that needs to be done, but there's only so much that you can do, and you trust that God is going to bridge that gap as whenever you can. You've actually experienced it on the ground recently. Is that right?
Tell us about that. So I was really blessed just about a week ago, actually. Me and six of the other team around Australia and New Zealand got to go visit a Southeast Asia country. Unfortunately, we can't mention the name of the country because we have to protect the people. So if I'm vague, that's the reason. But we got to visit our local team in this country. We got to visit the pastors and leaders. And we got to hear countless stories every day of people's obedience. There was so many moments that stood out to me. I would say there was definitely one key story that really touched my heart. I don't know if some of you might have heard of this story. About in 2019, there was a coordinated bombing attack in this country where three churches were bombed on Easter Sunday in 2019. And so we got to speak to one of the pastors' wives. She was there with us, and we got to hear from her perspective what unfolded. And I will say, just before I share the story, we came to her home and she was full of joy. Her eyes were just full of kindness and love, and she actually spoke English, which was really special for us. So we got to hear the story firsthand from her. But know that 4 years on, she is full of hope. So she shared with us that on the 2019 Easter Sunday, all the kids were in the service. They were about to start the service. It was about 8:45, and this new man came to the front of the church with a backpack on. He spoke to the pastor, and the pastors invited him in. The senior pastor actually had to leave. He had to go to the other church down the road. So he handed him over to the associate pastor and said, welcome him, let him in. And this lady, the pastor that we were talking to, she said that she had introduced herself that morning as well, but that she had gone inside. The associate pastor had gone inside as well. He was sitting on the front pew. But all of a sudden, Holy Spirit just alerted him, and he became really disturbed. And so he turned around and saw that the new man had entered the church. So he turned around, he put his arm around the man and walked out. And then moments later, the bomb went off. And it was a deafening blast. There was shrapnel that just spread everywhere. There was motorbikes that were lined up outside the front of the church. And they all immediately caught alight because of the fuel. And so that then started a massive fire that started spreading into the church. And so there was 200 people inside the church at this point, and about 6 people had instantly died, including 2 of the pastors. And so the people had to then break 3 parts of the wall of the church. They had to break it open to let people out of the church as the fire started consuming the church, and to get everyone out. And so there was many injuries. 34 people died that day. 14 of them were children that were in the service. And so as she was sharing the story, we got to visit the church. 4 years later, it actually hasn't been rebuilt because of different issues with money and the government. And so we were walking through this completely demolished church that had the remnants of the walls and the roof were kind of intact, but we could see the destruction. And yet, as we walked through, she shared so many stories of God's faithfulness. She said that there was a little staircase where the kids were all having breakfast, and so many of the kids unfortunately passed away, but there was 2 kids who fell down this small little gap next to the staircase and survived. And so she said God's hand was upon them that morning. God's hand was upon her and her daughter that morning. And she said she didn't know why this happened. They were from a different village to the 2 other bombings that happened that same day. And so in the natural, it made no sense why it happened to them. But over and over again, she just kept reiterating to us that God is in control. God is in control. He knows it. This wasn't an accident. God knows it, and He is in control. And so as she was sharing this story of heartbreak, her closest friends passing away, she said that, like, she was just so overcome by the fact that God was sovereign, and we were so blown away in that moment that despite what had happened, she could still view God as sovereign. God was in control. And years later, she said the following week, all of the church gathered. We asked, how is the congregation doing? How are they doing in this time? And she said, the congregation knows who God is. They know who God is. So they came back. They came back the next week. They came back the next week. They met in a little house, because that's all they could meet in, the following week, and it was packed. People weren't afraid. They just wanted to come and worship God. And that just blows me away.
It's an incredible story. And I sit here and I listen to it, and I don't know if you think the same. Like, we really don't have anything. Well, some of you may have as part of your story, but generally speaking, we really don't know how to compare anything of what we experienced to that very experience, especially as followers of Jesus. To face persecution that really is going to cost you your life, your faith is going to cost you your life. And when you hear those stories and you speak to these people that have experienced that, it's incredible the perspective that they have to rock up the next week and go and say, we know God is good. We know God is faithful. We sing a song this morning, church, you reign above it all. God, you reign above it all. And we sing that and we think about our own contexts. But imagine, yeah, that those words are true to us today, and they are true to the people that have experienced that the day after, the same day that they experienced what they experienced. I want to ask you, Sarah, because I know that the people that you speak to and tell the stories, they want you to bring back a message for us. They want us to be able to learn from what they're experiencing as well. And I want to ask you a question with regard to persecution, because when they're experiencing something like that, there is so much fear that will try to deter them from rocking up the next week or from following Jesus in the first place. And so how do they combat that fear, that perpetual fear that there is going to be a heavy cost for me to pay for this faith in Christ?
Yeah, that's so real. And in all of our conversations, they were the first to acknowledge the human response. They were first to acknowledge that we cried out to God. We didn't know what to do. We didn't understand. We felt scared and afraid. And we hated the people that persecuted us, because that's all a very real response. And so they don't diminish that. They don't overlook that. And I think that's really important that we don't need to be super spiritual and say that we have it all together, because they don't. But at the same time, the first thing that they would say is that they pursued God. They pursued his presence. They pursued what did God have to say in this answer. Because as we know, God is our source. God is our strength. God is our refuge. In him, we have all that we need. And so if all they could do was run to him, that's what they did. And I love this passage in Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And that's really what rung true, especially in this pastor's story. Her mind was set back on Christ. It was set off what she can see, off the destruction that she can see, and it was set back on Christ. And another passage that really stood out to me as they were sharing is in Romans 8, verse 31. I'll just read it out. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And then it says in 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. And so that's what they live out. God is the one who justifies, and it is his perfect love that casts out all fear.
Wow, what an incredible testimony. I want to ask you about forgiveness. And we in here, you know, someone does us wrong or even a perceived wrong, and there can be something that we hold on to. We hold on to unforgiveness. It's very easy for us. But most of the time, in contrast, it's not that someone is out coming to kill our families, and yet that is the case in many of the stories that you would hear. How do they reconcile that key element of doctrine of forgiveness and unforgiveness?
Yeah, so important. They really live out, love your enemies, forgive those who persecute you. And I think, yeah, it comes back to how important forgiveness is. It's something that they're actively doing. They're not sitting in that anger and hatred really for very long. They're surrendering that to the Lord and going, you are the one who is going to justify them. You're the one who's going to work all things for my good. And so that's in your control, Lord. My control, my job is to forgive and to pursue you. And so they live that out. One of the pastors said to us that it's a commandment. God's commandment is for us to forgive. It's not just a nice thing that we should do, but as we forgive, we actually shift our perspective and we're able to move forward. And so we see that. A pastor shared that initially in another incident, the whole church was very much praying out of a practice, but they were all very upset and angry at the situation. But the pastor was so convicted, no, we need to start thanking God. We need to start thanking the Lord for what he has done. And as they shifted into thankfulness, they saw God moving on their behalf, and they saw God sorting out the situation and resolving so many issues without them doing anything except praying. And so sometimes we can think we're the ones that need to fight, but you know, as we read in the Bible, it's the Lord's battle. It's the Lord's battle. You just be still. You pursue God, but it's his battle to fight, and he can do a way better job of it, is what we've seen.
Praise God for that. Dependency on God is something that I think in Western society we have become dependent on the things that are available, easily available to us. And yet when that is removed, that dependency on God is tested. Do you have any stories or anything that you can share about the revelation of that truth within these contexts?
Absolutely. Actually, this pastor shared this beautiful quote that I've written down. He said, "Since you have good facilities, good things, you have what you need, but that is for this world. That is your reward here. But we suffer because we know we have a greater eternal reward, eternity with Jesus." And so for them, their present day is just temporary. The persecution is just temporary. And to survive, to be able to live out their life, they have to be fully dependent on God. They don't have anything else to cling to, but also they make the choice. Many of them who are doing full-time ministry barely have money to get by, but they choose not to do a full-time job because they say that that would impact the amount of people they would be able to reach for the gospel. And that just really convicted us as we were asking these questions. When do you pray? When do you sit? When do you sleep? It seemed like such a silly question to them because their whole mission, their whole heart is to go into the world, to make disciples of the nations. And of course, that's different for us. In some ways, it looks different here. But equally, I was so stirred having conversations with them going, how can I be more dependent on God? What have I put in my life that gives me backup, that gives me help, that makes me feel better? But it's not God. God is all that we need. God is our source. God is our strength. And they would reiterate that over and over again, that no one has loved me like Jesus. My friends, my family, no one else satisfies like he does. And just like you were sharing earlier, and Paul writes in Philippians, nothing compares to the infinite knowledge of knowing Christ. Everything else is count as a loss into comparison of knowing him. And that's the truth, and that's what we see lived out, and that's the challenge to us, to me, to be challenged. Lord, what have I put my dependence on that isn't you?
What message do those in the persecuted nations, in the persecuted church, have for us? Because it can be, I always have this conflict when I hear these stories. I don't know if you're the same, where I hear it and I go, wow, you know, what incredible people, what incredible resilience they show to be able to stand up in the face of what they're facing. But what am I to do with this? Like, what encouragement is there? And you've mentioned a few of those, but what would the persecuted church say to us here, sitting in a comfortable room with, generally speaking, comfortable lives? What message can we learn?
We asked a pastor this question, actually. We asked many pastors this question. And when we shared that, yes, we face persecution here. Yes, we face challenges here, but it doesn't compare. And the pastor beautifully shared, if you don't have persecution or pressure, just spread the gospel. Just spread the gospel. And that's rung true to me over and over again, is sometimes we overcomplicate things. Every time we'd have a conversation with them, it came back to something so simple, to pray, to pursue Christ above all else, and to share about Jesus to those around us. And so sometimes we overcomplicate it, but really it is just that simple. We are living a life that's worthy of Christ, and his gospel, God, is so worthy to be talked about, to be shared about. There's really no better news to tell people than about God. And so what a privilege that we get to do that in an environment where we don't have the imminent threat that they face. But in the same way, they also just challenged us to pray more, to pursue God more. And sometimes we diminish how important prayer is, but we really saw the value of it. Sometimes I know, even in my context, we can say, I'll pray for you, and then we don't actually pray for people. But prayer is so important, and prayer is a tool that God's given us to shift our perspective, of what we see, to come enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. That's a key, to be thankful, to pray not just for things we need, but to also thank God for what he's done. One of the pastors, when we asked how she prays, she said, thank the Lord for all he's done, then pray for some things that you need, and then thank the Lord again. And so what an encouragement that there's so much to be thankful for, and that's how we should position ourselves in God's presence.
absolutely. Don't scriptures, when you hear Sarah share them in this context, don't they just have a whole nother level of meaning, a whole nother dimension to them? Sarah, why don't you share with us a couple of the resources that you've got here so that people can take that away afterwards, and so that we can know what to do with what we've heard today, and then perhaps there's another couple of stories that you can share with us.
Absolutely. So some of you who have heard of Open Doors might have heard of our World Watch List. Every year we have reputable sources and researchers that research the top 50 most persecuted countries in the world, and that enables us to be able to allocate funds and resources to the people that need it the most. As I said, there's 360 million Christians around the world, so we want to, you know, of course we want to reach as many as we can, but we want to reach it in the places that need it the most. And so we've provided this World Watch List for everyone to be able to be a little bit more informed about what's going on around the world. And so you'll see on the pages a little bit of a story about what the country's like, and then some prayer points. And so it's really simple. It's just a really great resource. I've got a bunch over on the side. So if you'd like to grab one, you're more than welcome to. And then I've also got some prayer guides. So we have these quarterly prayer guides for 3 months at a time. So this one's for November to January. And there's just, it's just a really great little little prayer point you get every day of the month to know what to pray for the persecuted church. They're probably the main two resources. There's God Smuggler too. If you want to read about Brother Andrew's story of smuggling Bibles behind an iron curtain in a little car, it's pretty epic. So yeah, give it a read.
That's awesome. I really encourage you to make the most of that, to get informed about, it's really not just what our Open Doors are doing, but be informed about what's happening with the church across the globe and in so many areas that we don't hear about. Take this home and keep it on your bedside table as a prayer guide for you in the morning. So, and what I love about this, I'm trying to be careful about this because I don't want this to become about us, right? What is our response? What do we do with this? What is this to do with us? Because it is about those who are really fighting that fight of faith over there. But I tell you what it does. It takes the focus off our own problems and says, God, I know that you can have your way in my problems as well, but God, there are some people that need you right now. And it just changes our perspective on those. But also practically, we can give towards Open Doors, and Open Doors uses that as well, right?
Absolutely. So you would have received a little card in the newsletter. It's a little seat drop. It has a QR code on it. And so today all of the donations will be going towards Centres of Hope, which there's a bit of a slide up for that as well. But Centres of Hope is basically, we partner with local churches all over in these 70 countries. We come alongside the local church because we believe they know their people the best. And so we equip the local church with resources, with materials, like I said, with aid, Bible schools, trauma counseling, all of those things we equip those local churches with. And so today, as you give, you'll be giving towards particularly the Middle East in those local churches, empowering them to continue to be the light in those communities.
Praise God. Praise God. There is much that we can do. Sarah, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to leave us with? Just as a, not obviously the resources, but any other story that you want to share with us as we close today?
I really was touched by this story as we visited a church the other week, and we were looking around the people in the church, and we saw this little family, and I'm a twin, I have a twin brother. There was two girls dressed in matching outfits, and so we could kind of tell they were twins. And so I went over to speak with these beautiful young girls and their parents. And I found out through translation that they were the only Christian family in their village. And they would come 2 hours away to come to this church just to meet with other believers. And when I asked them what kind of persecution do they face, they said both work and school, everything. And I said to them, but what gives you the strength to carry on? And they said, it was God's love for us. And so I asked them, what can we be praying for? And she said that God's love would continue to be poured out on us. And I was just so encouraged by that, that it really is that simple. In this time, I know this can feel really overwhelming. There's so many stories, so much persecution that's happening. But yeah, like I said before, there's so much power in our prayers. They were so encouraged to see Australians in their country, knowing that people in Australia and New Zealand were praying for them. And that's what we encourage them, that they're not alone. And as much as we care for one another as the church, this is an opportunity to care for your brothers and sisters around the world who you may never get to meet, you may never get to see, but I can honestly say the work that they're doing is so incredible for God's kingdom, for his heart. They're constantly wanting to plant churches and reach more people. Many of them meet in house churches because that's the safest form of meeting. But when we ask someone how many house churches are in this region, they couldn't give us an estimate because the house churches are continuing to multiply and grow at such a rapid rate. And so isn't that such an encouragement that in the midst of this persecution, God's gospel, God is being spread amongst the nations. And so you from here can be the hands and feet of Jesus, and you get to be part of the work and the lives that are being saved around the world.
Praise God. Awesome. Can we stand, church, as we close? And I want to ask Sarah to lead us in prayer for the persecuted church. And as she does that, I would just encourage you to be, don't rely on her words for us as we pray, but to be praying in the Spirit as well yourselves. So Sarah, can you just lead us in prayer, please? And as she does that, if the worship team can come, we're going to close in song. Thanks.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, not as perfect people, not as people that have it all together, Lord, but as people that want to humbly serve you, Lord, and walk out our life of faith, God. And so today, as I've shared these stories, Lord, would there be such a boldness and courage that comes over every single person here today, Lord, that you are the God of the impossible. You can move mountains. You can move any obstacle in their way, Lord, and they can trust and depend on you, Lord. And so as I share these stories, God, I ask, Lord, that, yeah, they wouldn't just be stories, God, but there would be a faith that rises up here, Lord, to believe that you can do the same in their life, God. You can move in their life, Father. And we lift up our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world right now, Father. We lift them up into your hands, the ones that are hurting, the ones that are broken, the ones that feel alone, feel like no one else is a Christian, no one else believes their God. But we ask right now that you would fill them with peace. You would fill them with your supernatural peace, Father. Calm every worry, calm every stress, God. Bring protection over their families, God, as they go to church today, Lord, as they seek you, as they pursue your word, as they are reaching for their Bibles, Lord. We ask, God, that you would speak to them, you would encourage them, and you would strengthen them in their faith, God. And so we come together today as the body of Christ, Lord, hand in hand, arm in arm, Lord, asking that you would move, God, that we would reach the people, Lord, that don't know you together, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us as one body, God, to glorify your name. And so today, Lord, we lift up your name. We lift up your name over our situations, over everything that we're facing, God. And we ask, Lord, that you would be glorified. You would be glorified throughout lives today, God. In your amazing name, we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Father, we just want to thank you for your word. And as Sarah has spoken this morning, there have been so many people in and through their stories. They have been reliant on the truth of the holy word of God. And we thank you so much for the clarity of your word and where Open Doors started with the Bible getting into these nations. And we pray especially over that right now. Lord God, that you would continue to make a way for these people to know the word of God. We thank you for your spirit that is living in them, that is moving through them. And we just thank you so much that their reliance is not on what they see with their eyes, but it is on a God who is above all, who reigns above all, the sovereignty of the Lord. And we thank you that as they look back through your word, as they read it, they see the faithfulness of a God who does not depart his people, but continues to fight, Lord God, for us. And so, Father, I pray for anybody, as Sarah has already done, in this room today, who is facing challenge in their lives, whether it be brokenness, whether it be a struggle of faith. That's what I just hear that right now. Maybe it's just a struggle of faith for you right now. Father, they would know the reality of who Jesus Christ is to them. That you are not just, we can rely on you, Lord God, in every single circumstance, yes. But you are a God who has more for us in this life and in eternity. And we thank you that that is built upon the name of Jesus, who died for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, that we may now have life with our Heavenly Father again. And so, Father, as we sing this today, I just ask for a turnaround in people's lives, Lord God, with perspectives, with circumstances, with the way that they're thinking about what they're making their way through. As we sing, Jesus, you reign above it all. We declare that today in your mighty name we pray. Amen. Church, can we thank Sarah so much for sharing with us today? Thank you, Sarah.